Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Now, Father, we ask, speak to us. Give us light. When you stepped into that marriage in Cana of Galilee, you told them to draw water. They drew what looked like ordinary water. But by the time they brought it unto the manager of the wedding, it had become fresh wine. We'll be looking at what may look like ordinary water this morning. Scriptures that we have read over and over again. I ask, Lord, that by the anointing of your Spirit, turn that water to wine. As we draw this water, O God, even into pots that have been standing for years, Lord, I ask by the command of your Spirit, let it become wine, fresh wine. Fresh wine in our mouths. Fresh wine in our hearts. Fresh wine in our marriages. Fresh wine in our relationship. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please sit down. Please keep sitting side by side with your husband, because in the course of the teaching, you might need to pinch one another. Don't make a mistake to pinch another man's wife. That's why you have to sit close to your own. In the course of this meeting, you will be having a need to say, ah, my wife, so that is it. My husband, so that is it. That's why I want you to sit together. Praise the Lord. This morning, I felt like God saying, go and draw the water. Go and draw the water. Put it in that same pot. I will turn it to wine. I want all of you to please turn your Bibles to Genesis. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 2. I'd like to read from verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Avila, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Edekel, that is it which goes towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof instead. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. May the Lord bring light unto this word again in our hearts, in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen carefully to the few issues that I intend that the Lord will help me to raise this morning. I will begin it, but I'm trusting that I will keep pressing until we can get to where we will draw issues in the course of the day. The first thing I would like to note, there was a council in heaven in chapter 1. Let us make man in our own image. You remember there was that council. When God decided that he needs to make man in his own image and in his own likeness, so that they can exercise dominion upon the earth. That was a council that we saw God declaring in chapter 1. Now, sometime when you are reading chapter 1 of Genesis, it appeared conclusive by the time you came to the end of verse 31. And some people might not understand that the chapter 1 gives the overview, the conclusive overview of what God decided to do and which he did. But when you come to chapter 2, God allowed us to have an insight into the processes and the procedure of what he did. So I want you to note that chapter 2 was not an afterthought. It was only a further explanation, a further analytical procedures and processes of what God said, let us do in chapter 1. Are you together with me? Now you will notice that in chapter 1, the Bible said in verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. You see that in chapter 1, verse 27. Have you seen that? Eh? Now, some of you might be wondering, so why did we come to chapter 2? Chapter 2 only was given a further explanation, a further insight into how chapter 1 was done. If we leave chapter 2, if we didn't have chapter 2, we will never know how God made the man. We will only hear that, and God made man in his own image and in his own likeness. Male and female created he them, and he blessed them, and he told them to be fruitful and to multiply. If there was no chapter 2, even that chapter 1 would have been okay. But it would not have given us a clear picture of how that man was made. It would not have given us a clear picture of how the fact that God formed him from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into his nostrils, we will never have known that. All we will know is that God created man in his image, and in his likeness he made him, male and female created he them. That's all we will have known. So I want you to quickly know that chapter 2 was not necessarily an improvement of chapter 1. It was not necessarily an addition to chapter 1. It was only what? An explanation, an insight, an understanding of what God declared in chapter 1. How did God carry out what he wanted to do? Now, the second point I want to raise before I go ahead is that we are us. Every other thing God made, God will say, let there be this and they will be there. Let there be that and they will be there. Let there be that, they will be there. But when he came to the making of man, he took a counsel. He said, let us make man in our own image. Which means then that the making of man was much more meticulous. It needed a design. It needed a careful arrangement, a careful planning for it to happen. Which means the man that God was looking for had a special space in the purpose of God. There's a great difference between you and any of the animals. There's a great difference between you as a man, as a male, as a female, from any other creature that God made. No other creature was made in the likeness and in the image of God. So the matter is that the man that God was going to make has a specific assignment and a special space in the purpose that God had proposed. And this must be clear to you and to me. And if I want to note that, I want to quickly note that since God was deliberate in making the man, He is also deliberate in bringing each one of us forth. None of you came here or came forth just because they said, let it just happen. No. There was a counsel even before you yourself were brought forth into life. There's a counsel. There was a divine purpose to be accomplished. There was a word spoken concerning you even before you were born. There is a space in the mind of God for you before you were released onto the earth. I decide to begin from this point this morning because I will want to press upon you that you are not existing as a mistake. You are not released to life as a mere thing that just happened. God brought you forth into life because there is a specific purpose and a specific assignment for you to carry out. Now, as I began to look at that chapter 2, the first thing that was striking me was that, you know, if you read the book of Genesis from chapter 1, you will have seen that chapter 1 runs maybe until chapter 2 verse 3. That may have been the logical conclusion of that chapter 1, when he said, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. However, the scripture now said, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. As if God now wanted to say, let me now give you further insight, further explanation, and further processes and procedures that I had taken to do my work. The first thing that struck me was that the Bible said, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Why? Why? There was no man to till the ground. There was no man to manage it. So what God did was simply to release a mist from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. But God was simply waiting. He wouldn't send the rain until He had found a man He would use. He wouldn't release the outpouring until He had found a man that He can work with. Let me also note with you that what you see in that Genesis chapter 2 is the principle by which God works. There will be no Pentecost until there have been those 120 men and women that God had prepared, that He had made in readiness for what He wanted to do in the Acts of the Apostles and on the face of the earth. There was not going to be the release of the power of God that will have set the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt until there was a man whom God took years to prepare in Moses before he will release the people. God has a procedure of doing things. And the process by which God does things is that before an outpouring, before he will release the rain of blessing, before he will break forth his work in anywhere, there must be a prepared man for a service that God wanted to make. Praise the Lord. And I sense that even for us, something is about to come. But it will not come, it will stay until God has found men, found women, found vessels into which he can commit what he wanted to do. And this is why what we need to be looking at this day will be very, very important as we look at our marriages. May I say quickly before I go ahead that as I see you sitting as couples, it's very clear to me that you are being coupled together by God for an assignment. You are being brought together the way you are because of something that heaven must release in our generation for which God is targeting you. Your marriage together as this man and woman, I pray that it will be clear to you that it was not just an accident. Even if to you it was an accident, to God there was no accident. How many of you know that God has never experienced accident? Oh my God, you are not hearing me. Do you think God has ever experienced accident in life? No. The Bible says, known to God are all his works, even from the beginning. There is nothing that has happened on the earth that caught God by surprise. You are not a surprise to God. Hallelujah. And that you are sitting with your wife today, may I inform you, known to God has that been from the beginning. Even before you were born in your mother's womb, heaven already saw this woman by you. And so your coming together and in matrimony, in marriage, there is a divine assignment for it. There is a purpose. And it is that purpose that we must get to understand together in the course of this time, so that we can let go every other distraction. So that we can let go every other thing that wants to turn us apart from it. So that each one of us can focus and say, oh, I am not just marrying you just for marrying. There is a purpose that had been proposed even before I was born. It meant that even my formation and my training and my being brought up was meant to fulfill an assignment. And that even this man that God is bringing me into his life to be married to, there is something we are supposed to accomplish together in our lifetime. We are going to pray and say, Lord, the reason for our marriage, we will not miss it in the name of Jesus Christ. The reason why it was this brother that I finally got married to, the reason why it is this sister that I finally settled with, Father, that reason, that purpose, we want to understand it and we want to walk in the light of it, because it is not for nothing that you are here. It is not for nothing that God directed an occasion and orchestrated your life to marry this brother that you have married and the way God has watched over you. There's a purpose. It is that purpose that I am overwhelmed about this morning. That every couple is being raised for a purpose. Every marriage is being established for a divine purpose. Please don't worry. I want you to listen to me this morning. Even if you have been turbulent, even if you have not seen eye to eye, even if it looks as if, Kai, I wish I was not in this marriage, I want to inform you. I can even tell you very clearly, could it not be because of what you are supposed to accomplish in your life that will be a threat to Satan, that he has decided to vex you? Do you know that it could be because you are, if your marriage works well, you will become a danger to the kingdom of Satan, that is making Satan to vex you, to trouble you, to make you never to settle? Satan will lose that battle in the name of Jesus Christ. Your marriage will fulfill the divine purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to branch to tell you a personal story. Not yet. Because I first want God to strike your heart with a clear understanding that as you see this man, please now help me look at the wife you marry. Please look at her for me. Look at her for me. And I want you to say to her, you are in my life for a purpose. You are not in my life for quarreling. You are not in my life for all these struggles. We will fulfill our mandate together in the name of Jesus. I want you to say it to yourself now. Say, look, our mandate. The reason why God preserved me and preserved you for me, we will fulfill it together. We will fulfill it together. That will be something you will join your hands together and say, hey, forget all the trouble. Forget all the interruption. Forget all the time that the devil tried, hey, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and all those things that made it look as if you married only to be quarreling. Satan has only decided to bring all of those as a distraction so that you will not arrive at your destiny. Tell the devil this morning, your secret is exposed. You will no longer have a hiding place. We will fulfill our mandate. We will serve the purpose of God. Our marriage will make profit for God. The kingdom of God will advance because of our marriage. In the name of Jesus. Look, because God had an assignment for this man. That's why rain has not come. God said, my man has not yet, is not ready. When I make him now, I will send the rain. When I finish making him, I will open the heavens. Oh, Father, please lift up your two hands. Lift up your two hands. Lord, accelerate our formation and send the rain. Send the rain. Oh Lord, accelerate our formation. Accelerate our preparation. Accelerate our oneness. Accelerate our communion and send the rain. We will not die until we fulfill our purpose. We will not grow old until we finish our assignment. Satan, your effort over our marriage is exposed, and thus far you will no longer go. All you did before, enough is enough. We will arise. We will shine. We will fulfill the purpose of God with our marriage. In the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know, as the Lord put the man and took him and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, and the Lord told him what to do and what not to do, God immediately said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Please hear. And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make for him. I will make for him a help meet. A help meet for him. Please wait. And I pray that even though this may look like ordinary water, it will become wine in your mouth. I pray that something will remove from your eyes and you will see your wife in a new light. You will see your husband in a new light. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what did God say? And God said, he spoke to himself, and it is not good for this man to be what? To be alone. The assignment I have given him, the job he was to carry out on the face of the earth, the dominion he was meant to exercise for me, it is not good for him to be alone. Permit me to read, or somebody can read for me, that verse 18 from an Amplified Bible.
Now, the Lord God said, it is not good.
It is not good.
Sufficient.
It is not sufficient.
Satisfactory.
It is not satisfactory.
That the man should be alone.
The Lord God said, it is not good. It is not sufficient. It is not satisfactory that the man should be alone.
I will make him.
I will make him
a helper meet.
A helper meet.
Suitable.
Suitable.
Adapted.
Adapted.
Complementary.
Complementary
for him.
For him. I want you all to listen carefully this morning. Very carefully. Even though the man that God made, the Bible says he is very good. But now God saw that for that man to be alone, it is not good. It is not sufficient. It is not satisfactory. My brother, look at me here. The issue is not that you are not good. The issue is not that you are not intelligent.
The issue is not that you are not competent in the things that you could have done. But God Himself, who has called you, who has created you, and who has assigned you a mandate to fulfill in your lifetime, has also said, it is not good. It is not sufficient. It is not satisfactory for you to be alone. God Himself, who knows the geography of your mandate, the length and breadth of your calling, and what you were born to accomplish before you be called back to heaven, that same God said, it is not good for you to be alone. It is not satisfactory for you to be alone. It is not sufficient for you to be alone. It is not acceptable. Something will be wrong. When they say something is not sufficient, what is the other way to put it? It is deficient. Do you know that the opposite of sufficiency is either insufficient or deficient? But I choose to use the word deficient. There will be deficiency if you are alone. My brother, God Himself said, it is not good. It is not satisfactory. It is not sufficient for you to be alone if the assignment you are going to fulfill in your lifetime will ever be fulfilled. And God said, I will make for him what? A help. Now, before I come to discuss that, when God said, I will make a help for him, let me show you that God tried to see whether what will suit Adam. Are you hearing me? Is an animal. Let's check our Bible very well. Are you there? Are you there? And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he will call them. And what did he call them? What did he call them? Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was what? I didn't hear you. There was no found. Now, when they use the word found, what's the meaning of that? Which means they searched. They looked everywhere. They checked everywhere. Where can we find something to help this man? It is not good for this man to be alone. He will not finish his assignment alone. He will not produce what is acceptable if he is alone. He will not achieve. He will struggle and struggle and struggle. Not that he is not hardworking. Not that he is not competent. But he is incomplete. He won't be able to make it. There's a deficiency. I need to settle it. So they looked everywhere. They searched everywhere and they found none. God found none that could be a help to this man. God found none. May the Lord help you to know, my friend, that heaven has been looking for whatever can we gather to help you, and they have found none. God was looking for, what can I do to help this man settle, to help this man fulfill his assignment, and they found none. There is none in the world of animals. There's none in the world of plants. There's none in the world of birds. So when I see people whose lives are scattered and they are now marrying themselves to pets, confusion. Do you know that there are people that are committing the sin of bestiality? What is bestiality? When a man is sleeping with a dog or with a pig or with an animal. And you know there are several human beings who have lost bearing in life, who did not know why they were created, and they were looking for fulfillment, they were looking for sufficiency, and they say maybe they will find it in an animal. I see them kissing dogs. Hey! Some, they are sleeping with cats. They will call cat a name as if it's a human being. Sometimes we call it and say, Rosaline, Rosaline. I will be looking for a woman called Rosaline, only to discover it's a cat. Because of this confusion, there's a whole organization for animals. Some people died and wrote a whole will of their lives and willed it to their dog. You know, when men have come to the end of civilization and they refuse to retain the knowledge of God, what did the Bible say? He gave them up to a reprobate mind to think and to do things that are not convenient. You may be thinking that they are civilized. No! They have come down now. They have finished. They have come, you know, they call it postmodernism. They have passed modernization. They have passed civilization. They are now back into primitive, I don't know how to call it now. Do you know there are people now that they said they don't want to wear clothes again? They are walking, not that they wear even panto, they are walking stark naked. And there are supermarkets. You see a man, a woman, stark naked. And they are walking like this. They are going to buy grocery in the store. The woman that is selling to them is naked. The boy that they sign, I say, God, this world is getting into confusion day by day. God himself had done all the research and he has found that nothing will become your help. No one can be your help. Not an animal, not a bird, not even your career. Even when you have risen to the height of career, there is a deficiency. There's a lack of sufficiency inside of you that makes you restless. When I meet a professor that has no home, the way he behaves like a boy. He behaves like a dog. Very intelligent, but he's a dog. You see him running. I say, what is that? What is that? Prof, what is that? What's wrong with you, sir? What's wrong? It's because what was needed to complete this man was not found. That is why, whoso finds a wife when we read that scripture yesterday, I say whoso finds a wife finds a good and has obtained favor from the Lord. You may think I'm just that is casual. No, nothing else was found to be a help to Adam. Everything else was brought to him. He saw them, he looked at them, he called them their names, he put it aside as if he said, God, if you are looking for my help, this cannot help me. It has a beautiful color. When they brought the tiger with that beautiful color, and tiger came and saw Adam, and Adam said, you are tiger, you are not my help. You are not my help. Tiger. Say, this is tiger. Tiger. It's not a man. I don't need it. They brought a lion. The lion came booming. Adam was not afraid of lion that time, you know. He looked at the lion. He said, sir, this is lion. You see, he's very voracious. He can eat anything. He looks strong. But it's not my kind. It's lion. Lion! Go and lie down there. They brought peacock. You know peacock? With his beauty, her beauty. And he came like this, came like this. And appeared before as if to win the affection of Adam. Adam said, this is peacock. God, I call it peacock. Not a woman. It's peacock. It's not part of me. I don't think I can work with this one. But anyway, you can be flying about and be walking in the compound. It's a peacock. I'm looking for my own help. The Bible said, and there was none. Did you see that? Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found what? And help meet for him. No help meet for him was found. Not in birds, not in fishes, not in reptiles, not in other mammals, not in plants, not in silver, not in gold. Do you know there was gold in the compound? Am I right? Eh? Look at River Euphrates. Look at the gold, bdellium. They say it's the best of gold. They were all there for him, but none. Friends, if you will hear me, can you hear me very well? You may have money, but money cannot fill the vacuum. So if you thought that, let me just make money, even if my wife is nowhere, let me make money, you have missed it. And if it is money that will not let you settle down to marry your wife, you are going to die miserable. Go and ask Solomon. I wish you would telephone Solomon where he is and say, Solomon, I have read your story. Tell me, why were you not satisfied with money? He had money. Unfortunately for him, he had women, but not a wife. Did you hear me? There were many women. When I studied Solomon, I started weeping one day. Solomon said, whatever my eyes see, I did not deny my heart from getting it. So he said, I went to explore beautiful women of different shades, of different type, different color. It was exploration that made him marry 700 women. 700 wives. And apart from that, 300 concubines. And every morning, there were special singers. Those who came dancing naked, those who came jumping, those who were doing acrobatics, all just for him to see whether he will like it. What was the conclusion of Solomon? He said, vanity of vanity. All is vanity. I saw a man that had money, but died a miserable death. I saw a man that had 1,000 women. 1,000 women. You don't understand what I'm talking to you about. If you have started eating from 3 women, you're already a confused man. If you are the one that branch at pepper soup store and you are drinking pepper soup from strange girls, they will soon confuse you. Because all pepper soup are the same. The only thing you will do is that you will just add one flavor. And then when you eat it, you start sneezing. You start sneezing. Say, then they bring you water. And then you say, "Car, that was wonderful. That was wonderful. What is wonderful? What is wonderful? In the pepper soup of a strange woman, you are on the way out. But God has brought you here. There was no other help found for Adam until God brought for him." Look at it. Say, "And I will make for him." Now, "and the Lord God, in search of a help for this man, could not find it anywhere outside him." Hallelujah. There can be no help suitable for your life that has no portion of who you are. All of you hear me very well. There can be no help found for you from anything that is completely, totally external to your constituents. For God to find a help for you, please listen. It needs something to be done, and that's what I first want to introduce this morning. And if I can achieve that, I will just stop and ask you to join me in prayer. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Please permit me to ask you to think very quickly with me on this before I go away. I said everything else that God made that was external to Adam could never help him. For God to find something that would help Adam, God had to look into Adam. For God to find a woman that would fit him, God had to first of all look into him and said, "What exactly will actually be his need?" So the first thing God did was that he caused him to sleep. In medical parlance, what was that sleep meant for? What was that? That's anesthesia. Did you ever go to hospital for surgery and you are looking at them korokoro like that, and they did not do any anesthesia for you, either local or total, and they were able to do any surgery? Talk to me, please. When you have not slept, you are very active, you saw them bringing knife, opening your stomach, and they want to carry out your intestine. What will you do immediately? Doctor, you want to kill me? No! You will jump. How many of you have refused God's anesthesia? When God wanted to perform a surgery in your life that will prepare you to receive a correct help, you have jumped away. You have not allowed God to walk. You are too strong. Maybe you are too intelligent. Or, I hope you know it has happened before, when maybe they administered an anesthesia that was meant to run for 5 hours because the doctors thought that the operation, the surgery, will not be more than 3 hours. And they say, give and take. Give us something for 5 hours. Only for them to start the surgery and discover that what they met inside will take the next 10 hours. What did they do immediately? They called for the anesthetic man. Say, come and increase quickly, before he wakes up. Can you imagine if you wake up when the surgery is not finished and you saw your intestine on the table? You know you will die immediately. You will just die immediately. Say, hey! By the time you finish saying, hey! I am finished! You are finished. So what did God need to do to this man? For God to find a help for his life, he had to put him to a very deep sleep. Again, I'm not ready to start talking about the implication of that in you discovering your wife, in you discovering the help that God has made for you. That's not yet my discussion. I will be dealing with that when God gives me opportunity. I just feel that this morning we must settle one issue, that for the purpose for which you were created, the mandate that you were meant to accomplish, for which you were born, the help you need is not found externally. So God opened him up and took a rib. He took a rib. When we talk of that rib, we are not talking about this physical bone. We are talking about something that is structural. Something that is part of the skeleton of your life. Something that gives your life shape. Something that gives your life, you know, the shape, the strength, the structure, the configuration of your inner man. God needs to take it. He took one rib out of it. And so that nobody will know, until God will finish, they cover it with flesh. They cover it with flesh. So that bacteria, flies, strange things will not enter and begin to feast on that loophole. You know that some of you look nice on the outside because God has deliberately covered your emptiness, waiting for your wife to plug in, waiting for that woman whose space has been created to come inside. But what I wish you will note before you stop with me, the Bible said, and the rib. Did you see verse 22? All of you, please check verse 22. Did you see verse 22? And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man What did he do? Made ye a woman. I don't know how to put it, but the Amplified Bible says, and the rib, or part of his side which the Lord God had taken from the man, he built up and made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. What are we talking about? What God has taken away from him. That's what God decided to do, what? To build up and made into a woman and brought back to him. There's a mystery that God must open your eyes to understand. Listen carefully. Even though this woman, that's your wife, was not made in your house. It took another woman to deliver her. But unknown to you, in God's own wisdom, there was something internal to you, not external. There's something that is part and parcel of your inner structure. Something that is of you, part of you, that God decided to take. It would not have been possible for you to be one if she's a strange material. What did God do? He took that rib and now built up into a woman, and now put everything that God already knows you will have a need of and package it in that woman. Permit me to remind you now. The rib that God took, whose rib was it? It's the man's rib. So whose size was God using to make the woman? You are not talking to me, please. When you go to tailor and you want them to make a dress that will fit you, what do they do first? They will measure you. Sometimes when my wife is going to buy shoe for me, you know what she does? She says, "Dad, bring your leg." And I will bring my leg out. And she will get a piece of white paper. I'll put my leg. And then she will trace it. Trace it. Don't worry. That's how she has been helping me. Don't let me hear you saying, "Hey." So he does that for her husband. That's what she does. Go and do for your own. I'm telling you. So when she has traced it, she will now cut it. She will now put it in her bag. When she goes out, they say, "We want to get shoe for your husband." She will bring that thing out. When they go to the shop, she only need to put that paper inside. If it fits, if it doesn't bend, if it doesn't ruffle, she knows that that is my size. So when she buys me things, it just fits. Some of you buy things for your husband, he's only wearing it so that you will not be annoyed. Otherwise, see how his leg is spinning. He said, "Dali, I'm just running it just for you. It's not convenient." He said, "Well, manage it. No. When you see my wife, she knows. When she calls tailor to make dress for me, I don't need to go to tailor again. She has measured me. But I see God. What did he do? He took a rib. He went with your measurement to make that woman. And everything else that is now being packaged was being packaged around your size. Because your eyes have not opened, you didn't know that this woman that is sitting by your side, that is your size. Sunday, look at that girl. Let her stand up. That is your size. Eh? Have you agreed? Completely. Now, Farama. You are going to do something before I stop. With a genuine heart. You are going to hold your wife and say, I'm sorry, thinking that you are not good enough. I'm sorry, thinking that you are not fitting me. All my complaints and criticism, I realize is foolish. You are my size. Everything that is in her is a reflection of your size. You know the problem is that you don't see your skeleton. How many of you have been seeing your skeleton inside? How many of you? Let me see your hand up. What do you normally see? What do you see? You see the flesh. You see your outside. Even when you stand before the mirror, you've never seen your skeleton. No. But God went inside you. He took exactly who you are. He brought it out and made a woman. Every time you are looking at your wife, that is a mirror of your insight. You are not hearing me. Whom did I say you are looking at? You are looking at the mirror of your insight. What you are inside is what God decided to work with, so that the help you will receive will be the help from inside. I have come to know now, over this number of years, that the help I need that can help me from inside, that can assist me from where I really have need, is that my wife. When my eyes opened to see it, I just knew that I better settle down and embrace it and accept it. And if there's anything to do, allow her to fill in that socket that heaven created for her, so that I can be complete. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, what did he say? This is now. Excuse me, why did he use the word now? Eh? You heard him now. It's like all the other ones you have been bringing. I saw lion. You gave me, you brought tiger. You, this now. And I need to say, God, Egba, you caught it this time. This is accurate. This now is the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Why? Why? Because she was taken
out of me. I want you to stop at that point this morning. I want you to pray together as husband and wife. I don't want you to scatter yet. I would like you to pray together to say, now, O God, open my eyes to see. Cause me to see my husband as the one out of whom I have been taken. My dear sister, everything that you have now, are you hearing me? It is out of him. It is out of his fullness that God is making you. And he's not making you for yourself. What is he making you for? For him. When you will have done very well, God will bring you back to him. When you will have settled properly, when God will have finished what he's doing in your life, he will bring you to him. Because you are for him. Everything about you is for him. God did not intend to make you for yourself. God's original intention was not that you will be an independent person doing something and going everywhere. No. It's for him. Your glory, your beauty, your wisdom, your height, your shortness, everything is for him. And it's for him. So that together, joining together, you will become complete to fulfill the one assignment that God wanted to fulfill on the face of the earth. The Lord who gives understanding, the Lord who opens blind eyes, may he open your eyes this morning. May he do something not ordinary. May this thing enter your internal structure. May the Holy Ghost do something within this short moment for you to discover that actually this woman that I married, that was brought into my life, actually is a reflection of what is inside me that I did not know. And God did it so that she can fit in, she can fill up, and she can complete what was removed from my life. Lord, for this reason, shall a man leave his father and mother? We will do that in the Bible study, so I will not need to talk about it. Bible study will take you to that. Are you ready to pray now? The first prayer this morning is to say, Lord, there's a purpose, there's a mandate. We must not die until we fulfill it. The earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. And because of that, God has decided to go extra mile. I don't know, maybe your own wife comes from Edo State. You are from Bauchi State. And you wonder, why couldn't God get somebody in Bauchi State? It's because he searched too, and he found none that carries the rib of your life until he got there. Even though it appears as if you don't speak the same language, sincerely speaking, internally, you have only one language. And the more you settle down with it today, the more God will begin to bring about why and what you were born and born again to accomplish. It's time to pray together. And I said the prayer for this morning. It's just one prayer. Open my eyes that I may see. Reintroduce to me my husband and my wife. Cause me to understand that it is for him you have made me. And it is with his future in mind that you have constructed me. And with his need in perspective that you have equipped and endowed me. Help me, Father, to fulfill my role by filling him up. Are you ready to pray? Stand together, or if you want, kneel together. Whatever you want to do, join your hands before God and say, Lord, 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 do something deliberate. Maybe some of you first came that we'll be talking about how not to quarrel. No. Quarreling is because you didn't know your purpose. All the trouble you had was Satan distracting you from getting to where you are going. This morning I want you to now pray. Father, cause my eyes to open. Cause my heart to enlarge. That me and this sister, we are destined to fulfill an assignment. Me and my wife, me and my husband, we are destined to carry out a mandate till death do us part. This morning, we are going to discover it, and we are going to be bound together for it. We are going to fulfill it. Basiara mashanda baba baba. Leso kotorobo shanda bakuri masaila. Bikariga sanda makondo roboskuba. This day, the light of your truth will shine. Maybe you married for 35 years, but this was not clear to you. All you knew that you have a wife who is the mother of your children, who cooked for you, and you've never fulfilled your mandate yet. Even if you remain 5 years to die, you are going to say, oh God, my marriage must fulfill its purpose, even if it remains only a few years. Cry to God. I want you to hold one another's hand and honestly face one another and say, Lord, Lord, that way we did not discover for years, we will discover it here now. Release me to my wife. Release me to this husband of mine. Begin to pray together now. Shatorobo sambara mashire. Borobo santa ya mama 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 mama. You may have built house. You may have gone high in your career. But because you have not understood this purpose, you have not been able to achieve as much. Plead with God and say, from this meeting, all the interruption, all the distraction. Some of you listen to your mother and she called you aside telling you empty story, old mother's fables. You did not remember that. No. Your mother's womb only was a carrier. You were actually not part of her. The bond that God used to create you is this man. Pray and say, Lord, from this afternoon, from this morning, every distraction, everything that is making me to think differently, tear
perish it here. Give me a deep revelation of this man, of this woman that you gave me. Lord help us. Let there be a renewed revelation of one another, that this meeting will mark a turning point. Thank you Father. Thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. I trust you, God, that what a man cannot do, you will do it. Where a man cannot go, you will go there for us. Holy Spirit, please help us. Thank you. Thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Keribo shataya bakunto roboskila. Imba tauya makunto roboskambara mashiri. Keriba ba kanto roboskandara bashiri. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Maybe, because you didn't know, because of ignorance, you had neglected yourselves. You have allowed something else to come. You have injured each other. Because you are proving a point. You even told your wife, I can do without you. And she also said, go your way. I would survive without you. But all of you have been restless this afternoon, this morning, just for another 2 minutes. From the depth of your heart, can you just tell God, confess to God, words that are spoken, attitude I have brought out, that has made me look as if I don't appreciate this man, and I didn't appreciate this woman, I thought she's nothing. Lord, please forgive me. Bind our hearts together. Do a work in this meeting. Can you do that quickly? Just for 1 minute more. You have spoken words before. You have done something that was very painful to one another. You have acted as if she was a nuisance. You have behaved as if you are just tolerating him. Ask God this morning, do a healing for me. Please forgive us. Lord, forgive us. Release unto us from this meeting. Release unto us from this meeting a new heart, a new spirit, a passionate heart for each other. Lord, please do it for us. Holy Spirit, please do it for us. Work it in our hearts now. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. With your hand joined and lifted to heaven, I would like to begin to pray. Father, you that turned water to wine, that changed watery situation to that of freshness, you, O God, who opened the eyes of Adam and he saw this bone of my bones, this flesh of my flesh. This afternoon, Lord, this morning, as I'm praying, turn the water to wine. Some, they started with excitement.
But after 5 years, 6 years, something crept in and they have been just tolerating one another. This act, this morning, Father, with their hands joined together, turn this water to wine. Create a fresh wine that will keep this communion, this fellowship, this relationship, this matrimony on course to carry out the mandate for which this couple have been brought together in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking that no couple will leave this meeting without retracing their purpose, without pursuing their purpose, and without fulfilling their mandate. In the name of Jesus, Lord, there is a reason why these couples are alive now, because there's a move of God that they must participate in. So Lord, from this morning, whatever else we are going to be doing, start that mysterious work. I'm trusting you that the kind of love that you will release in this meeting, the kind of oneness that will come out, an inseparable oneness, it shall baffle the kingdom of darkness. And the kind of prayers that we call out of here, for he said, if two of you shall agree at touching anything they will ask, Father, I'm asking from now, as you merge our heart together, as you merge our spirit together, as you merge our inner man together, what has not been done in 10 years will begin to happen now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this day. As we go on, you will undertake for us. You will lead us from here. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.